I wanted to cover two pieces. The first is taking Hans's comments and going into a little bit more detail on our technical projects. And this is really expanding on Agenda Paper 2A that April had kindly prepared for us. And then the second piece of my remarks will be giving you some feedback on all of the advice that we've been receiving over the last year and a half and how we've been incorporating that into our activities. So starting off with a little bit of a deeper dive into our technical projects, I wanted to give you an update on our recent issuances, our projects in process, and the research pipeline. With the recent issuances, the big takeaway here since our last Advisory Council meeting is that we've issued a number of smaller final standards and project summaries. What you'll see as I continue through these slides is that the big bang is actually going to be coming middle 2019 to end of 2019 and coming into early 2020. So that's when I think our stakeholders will really be seeing a lot of consultation documents where we'd like to have feedback. So in terms of issuances since our last meeting, we've had one exposure draft on onerous contracts. This one is actually still open for comment. The comment period will end on April 15th. And this issue relates to amendments to IAS 37 on the definition of unavoidable costs in an onerous contract. So it's a very narrow scope amendment to deal with a very specific issue in practice. We've also had a couple of final amendments, and in case you're wondering, these slides are color-coded. So the red is the final amendment, if you sort of think about the cover of our standards. The blue are project summaries, and the green is the exposure drafts. So two final amendments since our last meeting. One is on the definition of a business. This came out of the post-implementation review of IFRS 3. And it deals with determining whether a set of assets is a business or an asset for purposes of applying acquisition method of accounting. And this is a standard that is converged with US GAAP, and so the amendments here are largely consistent with those that the FASB has made. And then we also issued some amendments to clarify the definition of material. And this is really just clarifying and conforming amendments to make IS 1, IS 8, and the conceptual framework consistent. And then the remainder of the slide, the projects in blue are simply project summaries that we've issued since our October meeting. These project summaries don't actually change anything in practice. What they're doing is summarizing the board's deliberations and concluding the projects. So the most significant of these project summaries is the one in the middle on IFRS 13, which concluded our post-implementation review of the standard. And if you go through the project summary and the feedback statement, what you'll see is that the board determined that IFRS 13 is operating as intended. It is providing useful information to investors, and that there haven't been any unexpected costs. It did recognize that there are some implementation issues, but the practice appears to be resolving many of those issues. And then there were also some observations regarding the disclosures in IFRS 13. And those disclosure observations have actually been, are being addressed by our disclosure initiative project. They're doing a targeted standards level review of two standards, one of which is IFRS 13. And so they'll pick up those observations as part of that project. Two other things that we've issued or concluded since our last meeting are related to educational materials. One speaks to a comment, Sybil, that you had made in the morning session related to IFRS for SMEs. We've issued 35 educational modules to help support the understanding and the application of the IFRS for SME standard. It's a huge undertaking, and we've already seen that our stakeholders have viewed those modules some 20,000 times, so quite impressive. And I think, Joanna, you were quoting a statistic yesterday that I wasn't aware of, that the use of IFRS for SMEs compared to IFRS is something like 10 to 1. So, yeah, maybe more than that. So I'm expecting that these educational modules will be quite helpful for our stakeholders. And then the other educational publication that we have recently completed relates to our annotated standards. So we have both the, what we call colloquially, the blue books of our required standards and the red books of our issued standards. And then we also have annotated versions, which have pretty extensive cross-referencing to the basis for conclusions, agenda decisions, other standards, to help people understand the standards better. So we have just recently completed both of those, and the 2019 versions are available. And I'm going to call out April here for her incredible support and work on both of those projects. So that covers everything that we've issued since the last meeting. I wanted to spend most of my time focusing on the projects that we have in process, giving you some insight into the timing and the status. And in particular, I'm just recalling some advice that you'd provided us back in September when we talked about timeliness and the feedback from the reputation survey. And one of the observations that we had heard from you was that quality trumps timeliness, but it's very important that we keep our promises in terms of our timing. And if we're not going to keep our promises, that we communicate what's changing. And so I'm going to try to explain some of the changes to our timetable. And I think in the future, what we'll do is provide that feedback in our written paper so that you have time to reflect on it and then ask questions in the future. So in terms of final standards, again, mostly small projects that have that are expected to be issued in 2019 in the early part. The biggest one is the one at the bottom that Hans has already spoken about with respect to IBOR and the effects of IBOR reform on financial reporting. In 2019, we plan to issue both the exposure draft and the final amendments, which is why the box is actually a green and red blend here. I was getting a little bit artistic here. So the exposure draft we expect to issue in May, and then the final standard, the plan is to issue in the November or December timeframe. This slide is highlighting the consultation documents that we plan to issue in 2019. I won't go through all of these. I just want to highlight a couple of them. IFRS 17, we've already spoken about. Again, the plan is to issue the exposure draft in the second quarter and then the final amendments in early 2020. With respect to primary financial statements, again, Hans is giving quite a bit of insight into where that project stands. Right now, in terms of timing, the plan is for us to issue a consultation document towards the end of 2019. The format is yet to be determined. The board has to decide whether it'll be a discussion paper or an exposure draft. In terms of upcoming board deliberations, we expect that we'll have a couple more board meetings, April and May timeframe, and then we'll begin drafting. And really what's left is a couple of sort of ancillary questions related to financial entities, giving the board and updating the board on some feedback that we've heard on a couple of aspects of the project, and then the discussion paper versus exposure draft issue. You may recall, if you've been following this project closely, that we initially planned to issue this this consultation document in half one, 2019. The timing has slipped half two. And part of the reason is that we found that some of the issues that we're dealing with are actually much trickier than we originally anticipated, particularly when it deals with questions about how the IFRS defined subtotals that the board has tentatively decided on apply to financial entities. Questions around the management performance measure proposals that Hans has spoken about, and this notion of unusual items and disaggregation, as well as defining lines such as EBIT and EBITDA, and whether that's possible, whether that even makes sense to do in this project, and what does that even mean based on the research that we've conducted. I will warn you that despite our anticipation of getting a consultation document out in half two of 2019, this timing is at risk. The staff is working very diligently in trying to get this out the door, but I will have a better sense of that at our next meeting once we go through some more updated time planning. Rate-regulated activities is another one where the plan is to either issue a discussion paper or exposure draft in half two 2019. We originally were thinking that we would already be in the drafting phase right about now, but we have had some delays. And one of the reasons is that towards the end of 2019, we had a couple of board meetings where it looked like there were some mixed views, and it seemed like maybe the staff and the board were maybe articulating things a little bit differently and maybe talking past each other. So the staff has sort of gone back to try to make sure that we're crisply articulating the model, we crisply can understand or describe what we're trying to accomplish with the model, and then come back to the board and with the full model and some other remaining issues. So the idea here again is that we want to make sure that what we issue to our stakeholders is a good use of everybody's time, and that we've stress tested it internally and then with the board before we go out into a discussion paper or an exposure draft. So again, planning is still to issue something half to 2019, and I will keep you updated on that timing. And then we had a question about goodwill and impairment. The plan is to issue a discussion paper in half two of 2019. We have two very big board meetings coming up in April and May. In April, we will be talking about the disclosure package that would be associated with the discussion paper. And if you've been following some of our meetings in late 2019 with CMAQ and GPF and ASAF, we've sort of laid out what some of these disclosures would look like. But what we're trying to, or what the staff plans to recommend to the board, are some disclosure ideas about whether the, to help users understand whether an investment is a good business acquisition, and then also to understand the subsequent performance of a particular acquisition. And this is trying to deal with, in part, some of the concerns that the staff and the board have identified with the effectiveness of the impairment testing, and that where the impairment testing may not be completely effective and may not provide the best predictive information, those shortcomings can be made up through disclosure. And then in May, the staff plans to bring a paper to the board with the very big question that you'd raised a few minutes ago about amortization. So in the May discussion, the conversation will likely be around what the discussion paper content should be. Should the board express a preliminary view that the current impairment model should continue as it is, or whether there is sufficient evidence to warrant a change in the current model? So stay tuned for both of those discussions. And then one last piece to highlight here is dynamic risk management. We were planning to bring a core model of the dynamic risk management discussions in half one of this year. However, those efforts have been delayed because of the urgency of the work on IBOR. So that timing has slipped to half two now. And then in terms of other work that's in progress, the biggest thing here is FICE, the Financial Instruments with Characteristics of Equity discussion paper. That's already been discussed. The big milestones there is that the staff will be bringing a detailed comment letter analysis in June and July. We were planning to bring that earlier, but again, that timing has been pushed back because of the urgency of the IBOR project. And then one last piece that I wanted to highlight for you is our research pipeline. I think many of you are familiar that the research pipeline is a group of projects that are not yet active, but as and when the board determines these projects will become active before the next agenda consultation that will be completed in 2021. So these projects on the right-hand side, you'll see which ones are anticipated to become active in the next year or so, or couple years. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see the projects that have recently been made active. In April, the staff will come before the board with an update on the research pipeline. And my expectation is that very likely the post-implementation review of IFRS 10, 11, and 12 are the ones that will be made active, in part because it's been now a few years since the effective date of those standards, and there's sufficient evidence, I think, out in the public domain about practice and hopefully academic research that would be a good basis for the post-implementation review. And with that, Joanna, shall I pause for a few minutes and then move on to the feedback?
I think let's move on to the feedback and perhaps just a few, might just make a few introductory comments before you talk about that, but thank you for that technical update. And I think that for the next session, as I said at the beginning of our whole meeting, it's gratifying to hear what has been done with our advice. I think as Neely's first slide actually shows, so stealing your thunder, it is that information that we give and strategy, it takes time to think about, but it takes even longer to implement. But it is being dealt with, so I think it's a really valuable feedback session. So Neely, I'm just going to hand over to you at that point.
Thank you, Joanna. So what we're trying to do here is give you a sense of how your strategic advice is being incorporated into our activities. And if you sort of think about this morning session, there's strategic advice at the highest of levels that will probably take a few years, I would think, to fully embed into the organization. And then there's more tactical strategic advice that we can act on more quickly, but even still, it takes a little bit of time for us to really think about how we would apply it, change our internal procedures, and then start to see the benefits of that strategic advice. So the intention here is to look back over an extended period of time. In this case, we're looking back over 18 months, so that you can start to see how things have developed. But by no means are these developments the end of the conversation. I would fully expect that as we continue to develop and implement the strategic advice that you've given us over the last 18 months, we'll have further conversations. And if you find this format to be helpful, do let us know, because we can continue doing this every few years to give you insight into how we've been operating. I will assume that everyone has had a chance to read these slides, so I'm not going to go through them in detail. But just at a very high level to refresh your memories before I open up the floor to questions, over the past 18 months, the strategic advice that you've been providing us have really fallen into one of four buckets: technology, process, stakeholder engagement, and talent. And that advice has looped into discussions that the staff has had with the trustees, and has also fed into discussions with the board and our internal policies and procedures, all of with the intent of supporting our strategic goals of legitimacy, high quality standards, and consistent application. So very quickly on technology, you might recall we had a guest speaker in October 2017 who provided us with some really thought-provoking visions of maybe what the future might look like, and then you all broke out into small groups to think about what the impact might be for the foundation. From those discussions, we have tried to work out and provide a little bit of structure of what the implications would be for the foundation. As you see on this slide, there's basically six categories of implications. And these areas have been discussed with the trustees. Most recently at the last meeting, the trustees talked about digital experience, stabilization, and modernization. The second category on consumption of financial reports, you might recall we talked about at our last meeting on the taxonomy. And I know the slide is probably difficult to read, but what you had reported, or what you had advised us at the last meeting related to the taxonomy, is that our main focus should be ensuring that the IFRS taxonomy is fit for purpose, and for us to engage with both our traditional and our non-traditional stakeholders, so in this case it could be data aggregators, to ensure that the IFRS taxonomy is fit for purpose. In January, the staff presented this advice along with some additional background to the trustees. And the trustees were very much in agreement with your advice. What they had also recommended was that we put a little bit more emphasis on the stakeholder engagement and our role as the influencer and the lobbyist behind the IFRS taxonomy, with the idea that where we are with the IFRS taxonomy is very much where we were years ago with adoption of IFRS standards. It was very much in the early days where there's still momentum to be built up, and once you have a few major jurisdictions that have adopted the IFRS taxonomy, the expectation is that with momentum, it would become a more global, widespread, we'd have more global and widespread usage. So With this background information from both you all and the trustees, the staff will be putting our heads together very shortly to update the strategy on the IFRS taxonomy, discussing it with the board, discussing it further with you all and the trustees. So stay tuned for more there. In terms of process, we talked about perceptions of timeliness. As I mentioned, one of the things that we're going to start trying to do is give you a little bit more feedback on where we are with our projects and the timing and the changes in timing as part of the advice that you had provided us. In addition, we continue to look at our timetables and our internal procedures to try to find ways to make the procedures, particularly for things like drafting, for comment letter summaries, quicker so that we can come back out with feedback and progressing on our milestones in a more timely manner. The next couple slides, you had provided us with feedback on our comment letter process, the due process handbook, and our effects analysis process. All of that looped into our update of the due process handbook, which the trustees have been discussing in their due process oversight committee for the last couple of meetings. And this will be culminating in an exposure draft that we plan to issue in April over the updates to the due process handbook. So stay tuned for that, but all of your advice has been factored into the exposure draft, and we expect to finalize it the trustees expect to finalize it in 2020. The third area of advice that you've provided us over the last 18 months relates to stakeholder engagement. So priorities with our stakeholder engagement and the tools in our toolbox to make sure that we are engaging with our stakeholders in the most effective manner. We had asked for your feedback, particularly related to our conference strategy, observing that historically we had three fixed conferences that we did every year, one in each major region around the world. And the feedback that you came back with was, let's first start with what's the objective of our stakeholder engagement, and then making sure that if conferences are an appropriate tool to achieve those objectives, then great, continue doing them, but don't automatically assume that conferences are the way to start. In reflecting on that advice, we have determined that at least for 2019, the conferences do play a very important role in engaging with our stakeholders, in educating our stakeholders on our projects, in showing that we are real people and that we want to hear what people think about our projects, and just normal building the networks and helping people through the various implementation questions that they might have. So we will be having our next conference in June of this year here in London. But very excitingly, we've also taken on some of your other feedback, and we're going to experiment with technology. So we're going to try broadcasting a few aspects of this conference globally and allow people from around the world to participate, ask questions virtually, along with the live participants here in London. So hopefully you can join us either virtually or in person to tell us how that experiment has gone. A couple other things, we've taken on board your academic strategy, and we finalized and updated our academic strategy, very consistent with what you had expressed several months ago, with a focus on research and improving our communications with our academics to sort of have a feedback loop that ensures that the research that is being performed is in fact going to support the projects that we are working on. And we've taken on board your feedback on the on ASAF and the social media strategy. And Mark, if I can turn to you, we've had some exciting success with social media, and I know you have some numbers that you wanted to quote.
Yeah, I'm not sure quite exciting captures it, but just to say that we appreciated the feedback we got last time. I think the feedback that we took away was it was more evolution rather than revolution, and really focused on high quality content. And an interesting consequence of that is that we've seen a significant growth in the number of people who are following us on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is now the primary platform on which people follow us using social media. So nearly twice as many people follow us on LinkedIn as they do on Twitter. Perhaps that reflects the professional nature of our audience, but I'd like to think it also reflects some of the content that we and our staff are now promoting. So just as a final call to action, so very keen for any or all of you to follow us on the social media platforms, retweet content, and if you'd like to talk to us about social media during this meeting, then please come and find me during the break. Thank you.
Thank you. And last but not least, the final category of advice that you'd provided us related to talent, recruiting talent, retaining talent, and sharing all of the experiences that you all have had and helping us apply that to our organization. This slide lists the primary advice that you'd provided us or the observations that you'd provided us, excuse me, back in September. Thank you. And since that time, both Lee and I have been focusing quite heavily on two pieces. One is learning and development, and the second is flexibility. And the idea here is that by providing both of those, we're hoping to improve the retention of our staff, respond to the changing dynamics within the organization. So, you know, while people think standard setting is a very long process, and they might think it's a very stable process, there's actually a number of variables that creates this constantly shifting landscape. So to the extent that we can get stability and stability with the staff, but then also flexibility in how we can allocate our staff, the better that we can respond to the changing dynamics. And to support that flexibility, it goes back to learning and development and providing feedback and ensuring that staff continue to grow. So we've made a number of changes that are went a little crazy with the animation there, reflected on this slide to capture the advice that you had provided us about 6 months ago. And these changes are still underway, and we're hoping to have more in process or more to report in future meetings. Joanna, with that, I think I'll turn things over to you.
Thank you, Neely, for that. Are there any particular questions around that feedback? And I'm going to say that you want to cover in plenary discussion as opposed to a specific question that you could ask Neely over lunch. So I'm putting the onus on you, depending on whether you want it in public or whether you just want to ask Neely a question over lunch. And no one is putting up their... Nigel.
This is a significant risk here. I'm new to the table, as it were, but I had a question which may be challenging. But so I see, and you went over a lot of information that reflects the advice given by the members around the table and what you have done with that advice, the things that you have implemented, which it's pretty significant and I think very commendable. Has there been any advice that members around this table felt strongly about that you've considered and have not implemented?
That's a great question. So you said the word, I think, significant. In terms of significant, there's nothing that comes to mind. There were a few things where we just haven't had time yet to implement. So some observations with respect to how to improve our comment letter process that we just have to get resources allocated to it, and we haven't had time yet. There were some mixed views with some of the ASAF recommendations. Excuse me, not ASAF. With respect to some agenda decision recommendations for the due process handbook. So all of that was reflected in our conversations with the trustees and based off of the trustees' decision or the due process oversight committee members' decisions that will be reflected in the exposure draft. So nothing significant that we have not acted upon, but there were some areas where there were just mixed views, and so by definition you couldn't act on both.
As you say, a good question, and perhaps something we reflect on next time we report back as to include information about significant things that have not been acted on, which nicely leads into, I have got my table tennis bat out. Before we go to lunch, I personally think that that discussion, that feedback from Neely was incredibly valuable for us, both to reflect on what we have given advice on and put into perspective around some of the aspects we've considered for strategy, and helps us to think about the next couple of days. So I'm putting a very biased view on what I'm about to ask you the question of, which I shouldn't do. I'm a moderator and I'm supposed to be neutral. However, and so the question is, do you see this as valuable? It's not going to be every 6 months. I don't think that Neely would come back to us, but possibly every other meeting to come back to us with as detailed a report as that, as to how our advice is being dealt with, including how it's not being dealt with. So add to that. So all of you who think with your table tennis bat that it is great that we've got this, please raise your bats.
And I will say, I won't be offended, so don't feel like you have to be polite. If it's not helpful, it's actually less work for me, so no worries.
And those that, and I'm going to put an absolute bias on this, I won't. And those who think that we don't need it, sorry, Neely, we are, and I was going to say those who think it's a waste of time, but as I say, it was a biased question, so you've got the biased answer, but I think even with a biased answer, so thank you very much for doing it. It has been worthwhile, and I think it really does help us to see what we've been talking about and helps to set the scene for the next day in a bit anyway. So with that, I'm going to suggest that we break for lunch. It is now just coming up for 12:15. We're scheduled back here at 1. I'm going to say, please, can we aim to be back here at 1? So I think we should have time for lunch within that 45 or so minutes. And lunch is where it usually is. If you haven't been here before, you will find someone to escort you, but basically downstairs. So lunchtime. Thank you very much, and we will reconvene at 1 o'clock.